Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
You're working hard to put food on your family.
Then you wake up at the high school level and find out that the literacy level of our children are appalling.
He's learned a lot about ranching since that first year when he tried to milk the horse. What's worse, it was a male horse.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend.
Every reaction will provoke an equal and opposite reaction. And that is why we are seeing a surge towards this green Marxist Obama. Many people don't like him. They don't even know what his politics are, but they want anything except George Bush. And that is, of course, why we played some of his highlights over the last several years here on the Savage Nation. The highlights of George Bush have led to the lowlifes of the Obama campaign. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. It's interesting to note that it's been discovered that there are more registered voters in Mississippi than there are adult citizens in Mississippi. And, of course, at the same time that the demon cats are registering people 5 to 20 times, goldfish, felons, people who are dead, they're screaming racism in a crowded nation. They know the game very well. They invented the game of attack, 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 and here they are doing it again. We're going to do a random all-over-the-map show today on the Savage Nation because everyone's burned out. They can't take another second of this. I could ask you what you're going to be doing election night other than taking the gas pipe or turning the oven on. I don't know what you're going to be doing. Many people are in a state of shock that this unknown green Marxist, law professor no less, is about to become president of the United States. At least they fear it. I mean, there's no guarantee it will happen. Remember, Bush was down 14 points 2 weeks before the election in 04, and we know how that worked out. So let's not assume it's a guarantee. We just fear it because of the ineptitude of the Republican Party and the fact that McCain's guts were left somewhere in Hanoi, and that's not his fault. I note also that the Christian Science Monitor will end daily publication. I could not believe that the Monitor's circulation is only 50,000 a day. Well, I can believe it when you consider its left-wing orientation. I mean, this thing was not tilting at windmills. This thing was a broken windmill, and only the most extreme fanatics were reading it. So they keep blaming ads and ad revenue, national ad revenue, but they report this stuff. They're never going to acknowledge what they can't admit, which is because they have a blind spot. The reason these left-wing newspapers are going out of business is because the people don't want to read left-wing garbage day and night. So there it is. Web-first publishing. Well, where, you know what I want to know is where all of these out-of-work reporters are going to go in America? I mean, there's going to be thousands of them. All these J-school graduates who are now balding, they're not really dangerous, but they can't all be hired by the government. I mean, can Obama give all these out-of-work journalists government jobs working for the new Obama propaganda ministry? I don't know where they're going to wind up. Incidentally, if you just tuned into the Savage Nation, I did endorse John McCain yesterday on the Savage Nation. And, of course, We don't know what effect it has had yet because it's too early to tell. My guess is it will add several million votes to his campaign. That's truly what I think will happen. There are a lot of people who were not sure, and they certainly know I'm not going to support a naked Marxist college professor, lawyer. I certainly wouldn't do that. On the other hand, I really felt tepid about supporting the old warhorse, you know, Bush 3. But if that's the choice, that's where we got to go, and we got to forget our own ego. So there it is. And the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Without any further ado, what I would like to play for you can be found on michaelsavage.com on the top left. It's a very important piece that shall live in infamy. Yesterday was a day that shall live in infamy, to quote Groucho Marx. And it's the audio that says Savage endorses McCain. It's on michaelsavage.com. It came up on Breitbart today. Listen, I intended not to endorse anyone for this election prior to this week. But the more I have learned about Obama, the more I realize I cannot sit on the sidelines. And so I have to officially say, and sadly so, that I am going to endorse John McCain for whatever it's worth. You may say, oh, who listens to that guy, Savage? What does an endorsement from him mean? It means more than you may imagine. It means much more than you may imagine. An endorsement from Michael Savage means more than an endorsement from Newsday, the Chicago Tribune, the New York Post, the Daily News, the Los Angeles Times, the Star Ledger, the Plain Dealer, the Detroit Free Press, the Oregonian, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the San Diego Union-Tribune, the Sacramento Bee. Michael Savage's daily circulation is larger than any one of these newspapers. I have millions of listeners, most of whom, by the way, are independents. In case you don't know it, they're not all conservative. Most of my audience are independents, and they've been waiting for some kind of signal as to which way to go. They despise what Bush has done to this country as much as you do, as much as I do. And I've said so. I've been the harshest critic of Bush imaginable. And I understand that John McCain is really not that much different in so many ways that it's very hard to endorse him. I don't care whether he comes on this show or not. It wouldn't do a thing for my ratings. Remember, what is a rating in radio? A one-show rating jump means nothing. This is a grueling, grueling long-term business. It occurs over a long, long period of time. So a spike in a listenership for a day means next to nothing. He's been on shows that aren't one-tenth the size of mine, and no one knows who these shows are. I have to put my own ego aside, and I have to say what's best for America. I'll take my chances with the old warhorse and even Sarah Palin, who I'm not a big fan of, by the way, over this naked Marxist revolutionary, because I don't want to see what the next Pol Pot's liable to do to the world.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum wheat. Back in the saddle again.
Savage.
What's amazing to me is this, is America hates lawyers. Let's start with that. They hate lawyers. Hate them. They're the most despised profession of all. And the McCain campaign has not once said, Obama is a lawyer. Do you really want a lawyer for president? Why? Because the trial lawyers probably smeared off the McCain campaign. You know, they're probably 90% behind Obama because that's who supports the Democrats always, the gonuffs in sharkskin suits, if they still wear them. Maybe they're still wearing their father's sharkskin suits. I don't know what they wear today. I avoid them like I do poison sumac. But the fact of the matter is trial lawyers are the lowest of the low. Everyone hates them. And here's Obama, not only a lawyer, but a so-called law professor, a law professor in love with Karl Marx's dictums. And McCain doesn't exploit this. This is the detestation for lawyers. They have mismanaged virtually every aspect of their campaign. And there's nothing I can do for them other than to endorse the poor old fool. I mean, what else can I do about it? Everyone says the same thing to me. How could the Republicans have put forward this guy? How? How could they have made George Bush president for 8 years? You know, how? WTNT, Silvana, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, my mother is a stubborn Sicilian, and she has actually called your show in the past. She's Josephine from Boston, and she's such a hard-headed woman that she's told all of us kids that she's voting for Obama next Tuesday, which is something that I just cannot comprehend because she's a Catholic, and she was a young girl in the 40s under Mussolini. She came to the States in 1956. I have no idea how to talk her out of this except...
Oh, wait a minute. You answered your own question. Did she like Mussolini or detest him?
She was a young girl back then, and from what she heard from her parents, he was a fair dictator.
There you go. Tell her this. If she liked Mussolini, she's going to love Obama.
Well, it's very hard for us to deal with this.
But did you understand what I just said?
We do, and I'm glad that you said it that way.
Say it to her. If you liked Mussolini, you're going to love Obama because he's the same philosophy. He has the same philosophy as Mussolini. Didactic, autocratic dictator, period, end of story. Now, if America is ready for a dictatorship, then John McCain ought to ask them that. And he ought to say to them, you know, if you're ready for a dictatorship, then why don't you let me know this country left my health behind in Vietnam. I fought so this country would be free. And I am shocked that you're going to elect my competitor who reflects the very same philosophy that we fought against in Vietnam. I haven't heard those words. Thanks for the call. But, you know, there's not a real disconnect between older people of many generations and their love for Obama. What they don't understand is that this man is not a mainstream Democrat. This man is not FDR. This man is not FDR. This man is not JFK. This man is closer to something that we've never seen in American politics. They don't understand that. The Democrats are so clever at pushing forward this myth, this harlequin. And, you know, my phrase, my description of him as a harlequin is as close as it comes, I think, to saying what I think of the man. I believe he's a harlequin. It's not really a, you know, what does it mean? It's not a negative stereotype in a way. Harlequin has a meaning. In some cases, a harlequin can be a positive thing. In other cases, a harlequin can be a negative thing. It depends upon where he stands on so many of our freedoms. So let's go down the list of freedoms that I think this harlequin will attempt to curtail or control. Let us say the freedom of speech. He's already on record saying he does not believe in freedom of speech, that he wants to stop conservative talk radio. So he's against freedom of speech. Number two, freedom to bear arms. 5-4, Supreme Court. There were still four liberal wackos who want to turn us into a Cambodia, who said, no, you don't have a right to defend yourself with a firearm. That could change rapidly under this harlequin. So the freedom to bear arms will be taken away under the harlequin Obama. I mean, I'll go down the list. You want about the freedom to vote? Are you telling me there's freedom to vote in this country when there are more registered voters in Mississippi than there are adult residents of the state? The Democrats are registering goldfish. And while they're conducting outright voter fraud, they're screaming race, 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 racism, racism, racism. They know how the game is played, is to steal votes by inserting voter fraud, fraudulent voters rather, and scream that the poor minorities are being denied access to the polls, that we need a poll in everyone's house. We need a poll in every gin mill. We need a poll in every toilet. We need a poll in every village. We need a poll everywhere. In fact, we need a poll near the barber pole. In fact, every barber shop should become a polling place. Otherwise, it's considered racism. This is the Savage Nation. I'm not in a panic. I mean, they don't frighten me at all, these leftists. I detest them. I'm not frightened by them. And people say, why aren't you frightened? I said, because we still live in a nation of laws. They may try their little shenanigans, and they may or may not succeed in certain ways, but by and large, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be the slowly boiling frog analogy. We'll have plenty of time to try to control them. Then, of course, the Republicans are going to start acting real conservative if he starts doing that. You'll wait and see. Where do you see all these frauds, these country club check pants frauds in the Republican Party start pretending that they care about immigration, guns, language, borders? You wait and see. Wait until you see the false Republicans start popping up. But as I said to you, and my future is at this point undecided. I have a few options, one of which is to create a third party. Another one is I'll just become another private citizen. A third is to continue exactly what I'm doing. And so I'm not sure what I really want to do. All I want to do is offer this show to you at 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to my website. From the bottom up, raw broccoli, best for anti-cancer potential. I know you're saying, what, is he kidding? Yeah, I'm not throwing away my 25 years in the alternative health professions. And I put a health article up as often as I can. That makes sense on michaelsavage.com. A new article came out on raw broccoli being best for anti-cancer potential because the cooked compounds, the cooked broccoli removes some of the most protective compounds. I'm extremely interested in food. As a matter of fact, as I speak with you, my hands have the stink of scallops on them, which I bought today in a fresh fish market before the show and put in my refrigerator for tonight's repast because I'm fed up with restaurants. I can't take it anymore. And I really last night was the bottom of the heap. I'm not going to mention the name of the place. It's just next to a pool supply place off a highway in San Rafael. It was the worst meal I've had on Earth, and I've been on the planet several decades. I have never had a worse Italian meal in my entire life. Now, how do I begin? Let's start with the you can't describe bad food. There's no way to describe it. So I'll go to the main course, the chicken cacciatore. Now, I made it myself, and it's an easy dish to make. Did you ever see chicken cacciatore made with a chicken cutlet from a freezer? Then, on top of that, throw some uncooked bell peppers of various colors. Throw in some bad cheap gravy, cook incompletely so that the peppers are not soft, and then put mashed potatoes on the plate, a perfect match for an Italian dish. Now serve it to the customer who leaves the entire thing over tips and walks out. That was the last straw. I can't take it anymore. Everything's going downhill. But you see, most of the people in these joints go there to get drunk. They go in and get drunk. They don't know what they're eating. You could put dog food in their mouth with sauce. They wouldn't know what they're eating.
Savage.
The United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you.
Oh, Don.
It fooled me. We can't get fooled again. I know the human
Hold
being.
Hold on. Now, let's pause right there because that is on the level of possibly a Nobel Prize, that the fool me once, fool me twice thing from Bush. I know he didn't create it, but his delivery was so astute that perhaps he could win a special division of the Nobel Prize or the Pulitzer Prize for articulateness. And you see, this goes to the whole reason that this Harlequin Obama is liable to become president. It's because the people feel are about to be fooled twice. And I'm talking about conservatives. Forget about the left-wingers. I'm talking about the conservative base. The base was fooled by George Bush twice. They don't want to be fooled a third time by McCain, who's McShame to most of them. I endorsed him, but we know what he is. He's not only a flawed man, he's a compromised man. I explained why he's compromised to such an extent yesterday. I don't have to do it again. I don't even blame him for it. He's damaged goods, but at least we know who he is, and we know that on the big issue of national security, on the big issue of Second Amendment, on the big issue of homosexuals running across your children's schoolyards with their agenda, we know we can trust McCain. Now, I want to tell you that I get emails from a few people. I don't get them from most. I've cut them off. So some personal friends. And almost all of them are about the loss of guns and the homosexuals in their aggression towards children, particularly in the schools. And let me give you an example. I'm going to give you an example of a man who will remain unnamed. He is an individual I know who has a child who's in the 8 years old, like third grade. She came home from school yesterday and said, "Daddy, how are you going to vote on Proposition 8? He was shocked. It's right out of Nazi Germany, where children were sent home by the state to question the parents about their loyalty to the Nazi party. The homosexual agenda is so powerful in California under Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver, the Democrat governor of California, that the homosexuals are so brazen that they're literally using the schools as propaganda enterprises, and they're using little children to push their agenda." This man was so incensed by this abuse of his child that he called the school and got nothing but an answering machine. He said, "I'm going over there tomorrow. I'm going to go there till I get an answer." Well, I can give him the answer. The homosexuals run the schools. The homosexuals run the teachers' unions. The homosexuals want Proposition 8 to fail. Proposition 8 is a very important proposition in California, which will deny homosexuals the right to marry because it's a mockery of marriage, and everybody knows that. It's the final assault upon children and upon the family, and everybody knows that, which is why the yes on Proposition 8 camp, which is being supported by the Mormon Church, by the Catholic Church, literally by most religious people in the state, the real religious people as opposed to the fakers, Proposition 8 says, yes, we do support traditional marriage. But our governor, named Moonbeam Brown, who posed as a moderate in order to become attorney general again, rewrote the proposition so that instead of saying Proposition 8 affirms heterosexual marriage, that is marriage, in other words, marriage between a man and a woman, Moonbeam Brown rewrote it to appease the gay agenda by saying this proposition will deny homosexuals the right to marry, which of course made some people feel guilty and ran it down in the polls a little bit. Of course, we learned several lessons from that, which is you can never trust a liberal. They're always the same. They're always true to form, and that once a moonbeam, always a moonbeam. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Here's another article from the BBC News on my website. For those of you who have forgotten what Islamofascism is, it's from the BBC News. Woman stoned to death under Islamic law. Now, you don't want to read this because you think all religions are equal, but I haven't seen any Christians stoning women to death recently, have you? I haven't seen any Jews stoning women to death recently, have you? I haven't seen any Hindus stoning women to death recently, have you? I haven't seen any Buddhists stoning women to death, have you? And yet, the BBC reports, shockingly, that in Africa, a Somali woman was executed being stoned to death after an Islamic Sharia law court found her guilty of adultery. Now, the reason this is important to you is that Obama is pro-Muslim, even if he does not have a current affiliation with a Muslim affiliation. We know that he came from two Muslim fathers. We also know he was friendly with Louis Farrakhan. We also know that he has sympathy towards these causes. The woman was buried up to her neck and then pelted to death with stones in front of a large crowd in Kismayo. Of course Obama's not going to bring in Sharia law, but there are those in America who intend to introduce Sharia law, which is already in part operational in certain parts of America. Would you have ever believed that we'd live in a country where you'd have honor killings in America? So-called honor killings, which have occurred, where the father is on the lam after killing his two teenage daughters, and the FBI is covering this up by saying it was not an honor killing because it might insult Muslims, because the FBI was gelded by CAIR. Would you believe you'd live in a country where a radical group like CARE, which has been linked to in a federal trial, still notified by the federal government to be a co-conspirator in a federal anti-terrorism trial, CARE, actually gives sensitivity training to the FBI, and they lectured the FBI and said, "You cannot say this is an honor killing," even though it was. Would you believe this, that you're living in a country that is so afraid of these special interest groups that even our FBI would cater to them? Well, here over in Somalia, rather, over there in Somalia, the woman was buried up to her neck and then pelted to death with stones in front of a large crowd after she was found guilty of adultery. A local Islamist leader said the woman had pleaded guilty to committing adultery. Quote, she was asked several times to review her confession, but she stressed that she wanted Sharia law and the deserved punishment to apply, said Sheikh something or other. A group of men performed the execution in one of the city's main squares in front of thousands of people. That's what happens when Islamists win. Be very, very careful. Be very careful indeed. Had McCain only warned you about the coming tide of Islamism, had he only done that. Oh, goodness gracious me. 1-800-449-8255. By the way, I didn't make up that report. It's from your fellow travelers in the BBC News. Even they were shocked by it. Even they were shocked by it. Do you understand that? What do you want to talk about? Everyone's exhausted from this. What are you doing, Election Eve? I have a party for 100 friends at a certain property, and it's going to be it's closed. It's 100 people. And open bar, lots of good food, lots of music. And we expect the worst, but hope for the best. I think there are going to be many, many, many millions of people shocked if the worst imaginable thing happens, that is, we elect a lawyer, a Marxist lawyer, to the presidency. Now, there are examples of Marxist lawyers in the past who become presidents. Make no mistake about it, they're all models. To what extent any of these previous models in other countries apply to Barack Hussein Obama is indeterminable at this time, because he's been so protected by the machine behind him, it's hard to know just how far to the left he really is. But you have to look at this in a harsh manner. And the most extreme example of a Marxist professor who went to Paris and studied, well, a professor who went to Paris and studied at the Sorbonne, studied Karl Marx, came back and introduced Marxism to his country, was Pol Pot in Cambodia. Maybe I should tell you the story over and over again. I don't think that model will apply here, but one never knows the virulence of the extent. We don't know how virulent the Marxism of Obama might be. Will we have Khmer Rouge killing everyone with eyeglasses? Of course not. Will we have minions of Obama government police, a new division of the Obama White House, who go around door to door to make sure of certain loyalties? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll turn the sound off of my computer. I can't stand that computer yelling at me. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. The president of France, Sarkozy, views Obama's stance on Iran as utterly immature. You see, he's not fooled. There's a European statesman who can look right through this green candidate and come away saying, are the Americans that naive? And the ambiance. According to a senior Israeli government source, Sarkozy views Obama's stance on Iran as utterly immature and comprised of formulations empty of all content. At least he can look through them. Here's another article for those of you who don't know what real world you're living in. North Korea threatens to turn South Korea into debris. Of course, that wouldn't bother you because you never met a South Korean you liked. Oh, and have you heard what's going on in liberal Berkeley? Oh, there's a heck of a story coming out of Berkeley. All the liberals of Berkeley are now, the Bible says, as they sow, shall they reap. As they sow, shall they reap. And the liberals of Berkeley are now reaping a crime wave unlike any they have ever seen. And that's from the people they've tried to help. The underprivileged. The underprivileged minorities are now walking all over the white libs of Berkeley. And the libs are now saying they have to move. They're starting to say they didn't realize how bad the crime might become. I'll be right back.
Savage. There's a yellow rose in Texas that I am gonna see. Nobody else could miss her, not half as much as me. She cried so when I left her, it's like the
it is the Savage Nation.
And if I ever find her, we never move the far.
Now the reason I want to hear the whistling part.
That Texas ever knew.
Just that part. Come on already.
I
wonder so many people became gay. I mean, the 50s were horrible. Here it comes. Oh, my God. But why would you want to get married? That's the part I don't understand. Stop it. I could see a person not wanting to become like Mom, Pa, Kettle, wanting a wild sex life and partying. But why would you want to wind up being like Mom, Pa? That's the part that doesn't make sense. But anyway, that's besides the point. The reason I'm playing the Yellow Rose of Texas is because there's a local talk show host, well, a former talk show host, who was one of the most left-wing psychos ever heard of in the American media. Hated the family, the traditional family. Hated the military, blah, blah, blah. Hated the flag. His name was Bernie Ward. It was found that he was sentenced for child pornography, if you know the story. I mean, pretty vile, horrendously vile child pornography. Well, anyway, his lawyer worked out a plea deal where he'd do, I think, 7 years, I don't remember, which was a shock to the libs in the area who came to love him because he reflects the San Francisco values that are respected so much by Moonbeam and Boxer's people. You know, this is Pelosi's San Francisco values, child pornography and a hatred for everything that you people love, obviously. So anyway, the guy works out a deal, and he's supposed to go to a prison here in California, Lompoc, which is like a softcore minimum security in Lompoc, whatever. And the judge agreed. Now what happens is that Bernie Ward is now reassigned to a Texas prison. The local ABC channel has found that former KGO radio host, left-wing whack job Bernie Ward, has arrived at a federal prison in eastern Texas to serve out his sentence for child pornography. The jail is called FCI Beaumont, and it houses low-security male inmates. But it was not Bernie Ward's first choice. You see, during his sentencing in August, Bernie Ward requested the minimum security prison in Lompoc, and the judge agreed. It's sort of like going to college for perverts, where you have a set of colleges that you'd like to get into, and, you know, there's a first choice and a second choice. So for the perverts, I guess, of California, the first choice for the perverts is Lompoc, because I guess it's good for them. I don't know what. So, okay, judge says, okay, you're going to get your first choice, son. But now he gets into the prison system, and then he finds out it's up to the Federal Bureau of Prisons to make the final decision based, listen to this, on the sentence, the prisoner's needs, and the population of the various locations. No one understands this, but a spokesmouth for the Bureau of Prisons in Washington, D.C. told ABC News that they try to place an inmate within 500 miles of home to facilitate visits by family members. But Beaumont is 2,023 miles from Bernie Ward's house. And they say, barring transfer for discipline, medical reasons, or overcrowding, Bernie Ward will serve out his 87-month sentence 35 miles from the Gulf of Mexico, 100 miles east of Houston, and his release date is listed on the Federal Bureau of Prisons website as December 21, 2014. I don't know the moral of this story. I can't understand why this happened or how it happened, but all I can tell you is once you get into the prison system, fundamentally you have almost no rights. And I think somebody up there hates him, frankly. One thing I know is this. There are gradations of crimes in this country. There are gradations of crime, and one of the worst crime you can commit amongst prisoners is something to do with children. Somehow they haven't been brainwashed in prisons into thinking it's okay to send images of little children as young as a certain age in full-body contact with naked adult males. Somehow they don't think it's just a lifestyle choice. And it could be, and I'm only guessing here, that former left-wing radio host Bernie Ward was sent to Texas for his safety? That's a question mark. I really don't know. I honestly don't know, but we wish him well. We wish that he takes up macrame or whatever it is they do for 7 years in prisons, license plates, macrame, maybe a little making little microphones out of soap. I don't really know. He could be carving microphones out of soap on a rope. God only knows. But there is justice. There was justice. You know, you say no justice, no peace. So once in a while, there's a little justice in the world. Let's see what else is on my website. Obama affinity to Marxist dates back to college days. Oh, no, not again. Yep. Barack Hussein Obama shrugs off charges of socialism, but noted in his own memoir. This is really shocking. You're not going to like hearing this. I don't want to really upset you because I gave you good news just now. Well, here comes the bad news. But he says that he was drawn to socialists and Marxists as a college student. In fact, it gets even worse. Quote, in his own book, Obama said, to avoid being mistaken for a sellout, I chose my friends carefully, the Democrat presidential candidate wrote in his memoir. He said, the more politically active black students, the foreign students, the Chicanos, the Marxist professors, and structural feminists, those are the people that Barack Hussein Obama gravitated to. And if you think he outgrew them, Okay? I think you need a little updating as to what this man really is and what he really believes in. The phone number here, I gave you the number already. There's no lines. I don't want to say it 100 times at the website and the book. You want me to read from the book today? What do you want me to read from? Woodchuck Bill, Coney Island Wax Figures, Fiji Islands, Woodchuck Bill, What If John McCain's Middle Name Was Jesus? How about The Death of Pets, Snowy Story? It's a sad story. Would you like a sad story? Let's talk about that. My poor little dog, Snowy, is going to die. This is before she died. Now, this is not Teddy, my current dog, but my last dog, Snowy the Border Collie. She's 16 years old. For years, I called Snowy my little angel with fur. I even wrote a poem to her. 3 years ago, if you remember, she became quite feeble. I couldn't take care of her. People said, well, euthanize her, but I said, no, she's not ready for death. We found some good, kind folks up near the Russian River who took her in, and she's had three more beautiful years. She got better living on their little farm. She became the queen of the other dogs. They loved her. Well, she's gotten sick, very sick. So we went up to see her, took a long, silent ride. When we got there, she was lying in the grass, and her eyes were glazed over. She was very thin, very, very thin. It was very sad. What can I say to you? She was a big part of my life. I loved that dog, but she didn't die. I whistled to her and talked to her and said, come on, let's go. I can't even read this. I can't read this. I can't do it. I whistled to her and talked to her and said, come on. Come on, Snowy. Let's go for a run. As she lay there dying, she tried to run, but her feet moved only slightly. Snowy didn't die on Saturday. She just lay there breathing heavily, and then we took her in the house. I didn't know what to do with her, but she was very peaceful. When I left her in the house, the little place where she lives, I said, you know, we should all be so lucky as to lie down in the grass in the cool shade surrounded by people who love us when it's the end of our lives. It's a part of the cycle of life. I mean, that's it. What are you going to do? These stories are short, but they hit you where they're supposed to, right in the solar plexus. She was a great dog. God, I loved her. I remember when she was a puppy, she used to jump like Lassie. She was such a beautiful Sheltie. You know, it's like you. It's your life you see there in the grass. What do you think?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. Now, look, I endorsed John McCain yesterday, October 27th, one day ago. I want you to look at the Gallup poll on the top of the Drudge Report if you're near a computer. We all use the Drudge Report. There's no point in saying you don't. And everyone knows he has the king of all websites. I want you to take a look at October 26th. Then I want you to look at October 27th. And I want you to see what happened here in one 24-hour cycle. The Gallup poll shows Obama went down a point and McCain went up 2 points. It went from 50 to 45 to 49 to 47. Therefore, I made a difference in one day. Now, I don't need you to look to someone else to confirm what I just said to you. I want you to use common sense. My audience is estimated to be between 8 and 10 million listeners. That's confirmed even by my enemies. Most of my audience, I'd say 60% of the audience, are independents. I did not endorse anyone. I've been extremely skeptical of John McCain, let's put it to you that way, unwilling to endorse him until yesterday. But when I start to see Obama's associations with these outright terrorists and Marxists, in my opinion, which I think is still legal in America, despite Joe Biden's attempts to put certain journalists in re-education camps. I have to tell you that I think my endorsement of John McCain yesterday, which spread like wildfire across the internet, certainly was heard by millions of my listeners, has boosted McCain by two and brought Obama down by one, which leads me to believe that McCain can still pull it out of the clutch. And the reason that I say that is because there's a lot of undecideds out there still, and conservatives notoriously do not answer polls. If the conservatives come out to vote, I believe McCain can pull it off. And then we'll really have trouble in the country when the Obama maniacs are told to go and riot in more than, less than direct terms. Now, I want to read you something that I wrote in my book, Psychological Nudity, not because I want you to buy the book. Of course, I'd like you to, but it's not for that reason. I want you to hear what I wrote on page 80. And here it is. I talk about where I want to go and what I want to do. And then I say, what about my poor country? What good is all this health? What good is a reasonable success if the have-nots are being brought in by the tens of millions, and if the have-nots are being told by these evildoers in politics that they can take from those who have created this? There's nothing to work for. They'll take it all away from your inheritors. They will give it away to the bums who didn't work for it. And that motivates millions of people like me, Michael Savage. Let me tell you right now, we don't want the illegitimate taking away our livelihood. And we don't want the illegitimate stealing any more of our damn tax money. Here in the state of California, we pay 10% of our income as state income tax. 10% right off the top. But wait, there's a bigger insult. A few years ago, while you slept, they added another tax for people in a slightly higher bracket in the state of California, an additional 1% called a mental health tax. So that's 11% altogether. Now, what the heck is a mental health tax? Where does the money go? Well, you say it goes for mental health. Extra 1% goes. I can guarantee you it doesn't go into primary care. And where will it end? Nobody knows where it will end. So these are the things that are agitating me. People ask, how long do we have? Well, the Athenian Republic did not last very long. In 1787, Alexander Tyler, a Scottish history professor, said, quote, a democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government because a democracy will exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury, close quote. And that's the reason for the invented man called Obama, which allows him and his underlings to live like commissars in the ex-Soviet Union and tell you that they're for the people. They are absolute Bolsheviks. They're right out of the Communist Party with a slight differential. And believe me, not a great differential at that. Now, that's in my little short story called You Don't Know What Tomorrow Brings, White Males Need Not Apply, in my work of greatness, Psychological Nudity, Savage Radio Stories, a book I'm going to be proud of for a very long time. So you say, well, are there political stories? Yeah. Every personal story is political. In fact, everything personal is quite political to me. Phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. This is the Michael Savage Show, the show that doesn't exist, that just changed the course of the election and might just change the course of American history. Now, do I expect acknowledgement? What do I need acknowledgement for? Most of those who you think need to acknowledge me won't have a job within a year. They'll be sitting in cafes plotting the revolution. All of the journalists, all of the genius journalists. I thought about it last night over that bad dinner, the bad chicken cacciatore. I said, you know, what if I decide I want to go into politics? I don't want to be a congressman. I could think of nothing more humiliating than being a junior congressman from God knows where. I don't want to be that. Don't want to be a senator? I'd need about $100 million to run against a $200 million candidate, and I could probably win. I could probably run against Dianne Feinstein, and I don't know, but I just might win because she's not loved in this state, and she's quite vulnerable. She has the machine, she has the newspapers, but I have the people and the popular, I think the populist message, borders, language, culture. But, you know, I don't really want to be a senator. I thought maybe I want to be governor. If I wanted to go into politics, I'm changing my mind because I think the political system is so broken that people like me may have to do what they don't want to do, just as I endorsed McCain even though I didn't want to, and I did so because I had to. I might decide that come so, and if so, I might run for the governorship of the state of California. Schwarzenegger is detested by everybody. He's detested by the liberals for not being liberal enough. He's detested by the conservatives who were fooled by him, and they're ready for an honest, straight talker like Michael Savage, as opposed to a lifer like John McCain. Because I'll tell you right now, I run on one platform, borders, language, culture. I'd put the California National Guard on the border with Mexico. I'd make English the official state language. No ballots in this state would ever be in anything but English. If you don't love the country enough to learn the language, you don't vote. And culture. And you pretty much know what I mean by culture. It's the culture of your fathers and your father's fathers. It's not the culture of the perverts and the degenerates. It's real simple. And I'm ready for anything they can throw at me. At least that's what I thought of over the bad chicken cacciatore last night, but it could have been the indigestible peppers. We'll have to wait and see. I'll be right back. Savage.
A day made 24 little hours.
It is the Savage Nation. The reason we're playing What a Difference a Day Makes by Dinah Washington is because my father loved this song. And I was thinking of him because he's been gone so many decades. How beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Very beautiful. Anyway, the reason we're saying us playing What a Difference a Day Makes is because I already boosted McCain and drew Obama down by 1 point in 24 hours by endorsing McCain yesterday. Now, if you think I want something for this, you're mistaken. Trust me, I'm not looking to get a night in a Lincoln bedroom. In fact, I'm sure that if McCain wins, which is really possible, by the way, if I see this movement in one day because I endorsed him, and I do, if it goes from 50 to 45 on the last poll, and then all of a sudden it's 49-47 on October 20, on today, right? October 26th, it's 50-45. Now today, it's 49-47. So they're within reach of each other. Obama is only 2 points above McCain after the day after I endorsed McCain. So we had a big effect. And you're going to see now, you're going to see a change occurring by the day, all because of me. You can't say it's any other reason. There's no other reason. There's no other reason in the sense that McCain's campaign has fallen on its face. Obama's already building the acceptance platform. Everyone in the media has already said he's president. But here comes Michael Savage, the man that doesn't exist, who stopped the Dubai ports deal, who derailed Harriet Myers on the Supreme Court. I mean, I can go down the list, my friends, who undermined the McCain-Kennedy amnesty bill through his millions of listeners. And I am telling you that they vote. I mean, use your head, idiot. My listeners vote. And I've influenced them. And now the pollsters are starting to show it. And in one 24-hour cycle, Obama's only ahead by 2 points. The lead has shrunken by probably the most reliable poll I've seen, the Gallup poll. The others I dismiss completely as run by hacks. I trust the Gallup poll a little bit more. Of course, they're all inaccurate. They have to be. That's what they're only called, polls. And there it is. Of course, we don't know. We don't know, but I'll continue to play my endorsement. It's all over the internet. Savage endorses McCain, went up on michaelsavage.com, the sound, if you want to play it and send it around. It then went up on WorldNet Daily. It went up on Newsmax. It was originally published immediately by Andrew Breitbart on breitbart.com. And therefore, it's getting enormous play all over the landscape of the internet. And it doesn't matter what the mainstream or midstream media has to say about who is affecting it. They're never going to acknowledge that it's you. They're never going to acknowledge that I exist. It doesn't matter. Don't you understand that? Don't you get it? So there it is. I mean, there's some good things happening. And old McCain, you know, just liable to pull it out. No matter how many illegals and no matter how many dead people and homeless the demon cats register, the real Americans, the working Americans, the taxpaying Americans are just liable to come out in droves and put the old warhorse into the driver's seat. Houston, Texas, Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Dr. Savage? It's a pleasure to speak with you.
What's up, my friend? Well, we can't. Let's define terms. He was not convicted for loving boys. He was convicted for disseminating or sharing child pornography, some of which included little girls and full adult with contact with full adults who were naked, boys and girls. His name is Bernie Ward.
Okay, Bernie Ward is you said that he was in Beaumont, Texas. I have a friend that is probably – I'm going to keep in touch with him because he works over there in the prison. We'll probably be one of the guards that are watching him.
Oh, my goodness. So we can get a report to the hometown.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How he's enjoying the service, so to speak, in Texas.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to enjoy it too much because, like you said earlier, people who abuse the children don't last very long in prison.
Oh, we don't want that, though, because he's been such a good-hearted liberal all his life. You know, he's for the poor and the underprivileged, and he's tried to hate the military as much as he could. He's a former aide, by the way, to Barbara Boxer. They leave that out of all the news stories. But this former Catholic priest, Bernie Ward, was a former aide to Barbara Boxer, I believe it or not, as an expert on military affairs, of all things. Even though apparently he's never fired a Daisy BB gun. No, we wish him well over there in Texas. I'd like to know how the barbecue's going and whether he likes the honey barbecue sauce on his ribs.
Well, we'll definitely keep you apprised.
play the Yellow Rose of Texas. Hold on there. Mark, let me send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity because you're one of the good old boys out of Texas. Keep Mark on the line. I always fulfill my promises to send a free book. Play the Yellow Rose of Texas. I want to. Oh, you don't have that? Which one do you have? Play whatever Texas song you have.
Yellow Rose in Texas.
You do have
that.
You're torturing me for.
Nobody else could miss her.
All right, turn it off. This is corny. They're just corny. Let's go to the callers. Alice in Portland, Oregon. The aura's gone in Oregon. Alice, what's on your mind?
Hi, actually, I'm in Vancouver, Washington. A little bit of difference. But I read your book cover to cover the day I got it. Psychological Nudity, it is excellent, very probing, funny, but still memorable. I don't know. I related a lot to it. And
I like hearing that. I think it's a small masterpiece, frankly, or I wouldn't have published it.
Well, and I enjoyed the liner notes. I always read a book cover to cover, and on the back liner is the author's brain exposed.
Oh, I know. It's the first time in human history, in publishing history, that this has been done. It's original in so many ways. And, you know, Alice, you were the first person to note the fact that I published a CT scan, a CAT scan of one of the sagittal sections of my brain. You know, normally there's an author picture on the inside flap and, you know, like the author with it. So this picture shows, you know, how a brain looks in a sagittal section. Sometimes it looks like a smiling face. I could not resist.
Jack, yeah, for sure. It's great, great. Everybody should get one of these. It's just
well, what do you think of my brain now that it's been exposed?
It works very well. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Since you're such an astute observer of things literary, I'm going to send you an early Christmas present, and I'm sending you one of the few copies of the book, the first edition, first printing that is left. And I'm probably going to just sell it out, and I don't really know if I want to reprint it. I don't want to bother. But you're getting another one, so stay in the line, Alice. I wish it was in the bookstores so that many of you who don't go on the internet. Here's the interesting thing is a lot of people who listen to this show are older people who don't use the internet. They'd love to rush out and buy it. You can't. It's not in the bookstores. I just didn't do it that way. You know, this is the new age of publishing, which is I wrote the whole book, every word. I had it, typeset with a great typesetter. The pictures, just everything was done by me. Me, myself, and I did it with a great typesetter and a really fine young copywriter. She was a copy editor, really. And just everything worked out. It's one of those things. But I bypassed New York. The main point I'm trying to make is you don't need to go to a publisher with a book any more than you need to go to a producer to have a movie done today. What do you need these people for? We're living in a brand new age. And even an older guy like me who grew up on a Royal Portable, manual typewriter. I can write my own books and publish my own books and sell them on my own website. So I won't get rich. So what? Big deal. I don't want to do book tours anyway. I hated them my whole life. I don't like green rooms. I don't like hotel dinners. I don't like traveling. I'll be back.
Savage.
So spread the word that Savage has endorsed McCain. Go to michaelsavage.com or wherever you can find it. It's on many websites now, the soundbite, that is, and spread it to other people because we've already changed the polling. Gallup just out. In one day, 24-hour cycle, Obama's down one, and McCain is up two. He's within shooting distance, so you can make a huge difference. In a bit, we're going to talk about vote fraud. The Obama maniacs are conducting outright vote fraud. For example, in Ohio, as many as 200,000 new voter registrations in the state are suspect. Yet Democratic Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner refused to follow the 2002 Help America Vote Act that requires her to verify these registrations. And you know the Ohio Republican Party sued Mrs. Brunner, but the Supreme Court said the GOP lacked standing. So it just shows you that you think you have a conservative Supreme Court. You have nothing. You have a wet dish rag up there in the Supreme Court. And the Justice Department did nothing. In fact, the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Justice Department filed a lawsuit against Waller County, Texas, to correct alleged violations of the Voting Rights Act. The Justice Department, Civil Rights Division, a lawsuit against Vermont for failing to report accurately on overseas ballots, and others. The fact of the matter is that the U.S. Justice Department has civil rights attorneys who are supposed to supervise voting issues who are outright Barack Obama supporters. According to Federal Election Commission data, James Walsh, an attorney in the Civil Rights Division, donated $300 to Obama. His boss, Mark Kapiloff, gave $2,250. John Russ, also in the Justice Department Civil Rights Division, gave $600 to Obama. And they're involved in vote fraud, my friends. Lawyers who supervise voting rights in the U.S. Justice Department, that's George Bush's U.S. Justice Department, are outright Obama donors. There it is. The Wall Street Journal has another article in letters to the editor that I want to share with you. And it's about Obama and his Marxism by a man named Louis Vicenz from Pembroke Pines, Florida. It's short, and I want to read you the end of the letter. He writes, I came from Cuba. I have seen this movie before, and I know how it ends. I've heard the same lines spoken by different actors, the Castro brothers in my case, and more recently by Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. With all his refined education and eloquence, Mr. Obama is just another socialist who thinks that our American-trained socialists will make socialism work here, while all those others around the world have failed. We are so much smarter here. Louis Vicenz, Pembroke Pines, Florida. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Sacramento, Lana, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I'm so happy to talk to you. I listen to you every day. And I'll tell you, if I miss a day for some reason, I feel like it's a day that I've lost. I count on you for updates, and I count on you for honest information and not stuff.
Well, I am the news for millions of Americans, and that's a very hard pill to swallow by those in the newspaper business who are going out of business and losing their jobs. They can't understand how Michael Savage could have such a loyal audience. And they assume all of you are uneducated, some Neanderthal types, you know. That's how they look upon you.
Well, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. And if they're so educated, I don't want to be like that if I can't even speak the truth on the media. The woman in
Florida, what they're educated to speak their truth, as you well know, and we can give you the litany of truths, but let's not bother. We've all heard it 10,000 times before. What motivates your call today, Lanny?
That I love you so much. I support everything that you say. When you said you were starting a third party, I was behind it. You want to run for governor? I'm there. I wish more people like you. I believe Senator Palin is the same, or Governor Palin is the same way, where she speaks honestly, and I think she's a watchdog. I consider you a watchdog. I love that you write books and tell people about the stories of your life, because that kind of upbringing has almost become obsolete, and it's people like you.
Right.
And
it's very hard. Listen, they can attack Palin all they want, and she is vulnerable in certain regards, but they're going to have a lot of trouble with me because I'm hyper-educated with 3 graduate degrees, and I've written 25 books, and I've done other things besides talk radio. Believe me, I didn't start as a disc jockey. They'll have a lot of trouble trying to pull a Palin on me. That's all I can tell you.
Well, why do you think people like listening to you so much? Because they know when you say something, you're not going to say it unless you've already validated it. You don't just talk off the cuff.
Well, I do. I eat, sleep, and drink politics 24/7. I have my ways of turning it off. But, you know, basically the brain is always running here. The hard drive is always on these topics. And I try to give the people their money's worth when they listen to the show. Otherwise, you know, why are you going to listen?
Yeah. Can I tell you one thing about your new book?
Yes, ma'am.
I really enjoy the few times I've heard you tell the story about when you were a boy and this man that was friends with your father and his son would come over and they would almost rub in your noses that they always had better. And you always looked at that. And then as he got older, it turns out he ended up losing everything. And you were able to see the fruits of his labor bring him absolutely nothing.
Well, but I didn't gloat over it. I loved that man. I thought he was a wonderful man, you know. You don't see me gloating over the fact that the man lost everything, do you?
No, I didn't mean it that way. I just meant simply that what's right is right, and it was about justice. And you try so hard to do the very best you can, and people in this world get ahead, and you sometimes wonder, am I doing something wrong? And then you see when it's all said and done that things that aren't acquired or obtained the right way don't have the same stay power. That's just
well, that, but again, I don't want to disagree with you. You know, it's called A Leather Man Gets Brain Cancer, page 101. But he didn't do anything wrong. The business just changed on him.
No, but he was smug. He was arrogant, wasn't he?
Okay, that's interesting. Well, who isn't, though? You know, if smugness was a moral sin of a magnitude sufficient to get brain cancer, I think we'd all be dead.
Yeah, we can be proud of our accomplishments, but we don't need to go to someone else's house and show off and boast that...
I hear you, but it's so much the human condition, you know. But I got to admit, I mean, I reiterate, I love this man like an uncle, and he wasn't. But I hear you. See, this is the thing, Lanny. People will see, even in a story, different things that I even intended to write. You know what I'm saying? You'll interpret it your way.
Sure.
And that's very and very intriguing that you interpreted that story that way.
Well,
but I thank you for being such a loyal and wonderful fan and for calling the show. Thank you very much. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona. Justin, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, I want to thank you for being out there for us. And I also want to thank you for some you might see as kind of strange. I kind of consider you as a father figure. My dad listened to you for about 4 or 5 years, and he turned me on to you, and he died about 3 weeks ago. I've been listening to you for about 2 years now, and you tell the truth. You say things from the heart. You're passionate. Sometimes it's stuff we don't necessarily want to hear, but it's stuff we need to hear, and I just want to thank you for being there.
Is your dad still, I hope he's still listening.
I'm sorry? Yeah, I hope he's. I have a feeling he is.
Okay. Well, look, Audrey, let me say this, Justin. I've been in radio for 15 long, hard, grueling years. And I'm shocked to hear people say to me, I started listening to you when I was 8. You know, I was 8 and 15, they're 23. You know, in the Bay Area. I've had kids call me up. They started to listen when they're 10, they're 25. You know, I don't realize it. Because in many ways, I'm like Guru Mike. I'm here now. You know, like Be Here Now? I live in the present. I don't live in the past. I don't live in the future. I do exactly what the gurus were teaching in the 70s, because that's what the medium that I'm in does to you. If you're not in the present, you're finished in this business. You know what I'm saying? You have to be in the present. So I don't look – I can't say 15 years. I don't even understand what that is anymore. And you know, if you grew up listening to the show a couple of years ago, I'm a part of your life. I'm a part of your mental geography. I understand that.
Absolutely, and your wisdom is going from one generation to the next. I think that's a great thing. And I have to say, I feel left out because as soon as I have time off of work, I'm going to go get psychological nudity. Everyone's calling in and saying great things about the book, so That's my next.
Well, I'm afraid you can't get it in the bookstore, though. You can only get it on michaelsavage.com, though.
Online, okay. All right.
All right. I wish you luck, and I thank you for the kind words. I had people get married on this show. I once went to a Marines memorial function. Oh, my God, 10 years ago, and I ran into a couple. They said, Mike, hi, we met you. We met each other through your show, remember? Remember when I was a local host, I used to occasionally do a dating Friday. I stopped doing it because there's so many sickos out there. You don't know who people are, you know. Conservative girls in particular don't know who to turn to. Because every guy they meet is either, married or a little on the AC/DC or crazy. And they don't know what to do. They figure the guy says he's conservative. They usually turn out to be the craziest. So I got out of that business. I didn't want to be, you know, anywhere near that one. That's the constant lament in the Bay Area. It's like every man they meet is either married, AC/DC, or crazy. I said, well, as long as they're not all three, you're still in good shape. I get a laugh out of him when I would say that, you know. But it's not a laughing matter anyway. Here we are, Dow up 889 points. Yesterday it was down, up, down. Will you shut up? I got to turn that thing off on the computer. I'm always getting shocked by it. So I am in a way feeling vindicated today. I endorsed McCain yesterday on this show. It's been up on a couple of websites. It's been up on Breitbart, who has a huge, huge, visitorship. And now Obama's down one, McCain is up two. McCain's in striking distance. I believe you're going to see a change now. Now, how are you going to explain it? Tell me why McCain would have gone up and Obama down in a day, other than me. Give me a reason. There is no reason other than me. Just use logic. Even if you hate my guts, you have to admit that I changed the course of the election today. And I'll tell you, if you see this trend continuing, you'll know again it's just like the Dubai Ports deal, Harriet Myers, the Immigration Reform Act. It's you, 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 baby. It's you, you, you. There are millions of you out there. So it seems logical that pollsters would contact some of you by chance, and therefore the polls are changing. Not by chance, but by my endorsement. New York City, 1-800-449-8255 and the great WOR. Cleo, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's great to speak with you. Great show. I'm a new listener. My cousin Esther told me about you, and I'm so glad I tuned in.
Thank you.
I'm also exhausted with this election. And you have the course of this election. I just want to thank you. Thank you for your endorsement of John McCain, for speaking the truth, and for saying what so many of us are thinking and feeling, because I feel like our voice is not being heard.
Your voice is not only not being heard, it's being suppressed. And primarily by the your voice is suppressed not only by the Democrats and the media, but by the Republican Party itself.
And I agree with everything you say about Obama. He's a socialist. He associates himself with radical extremists.
Socialist by every imaginable parameter. In fact, yesterday we had those wonderful sound bites. Can you play the first one? Thanks, Cleo. Play the one from yesterday. Wait, I'm back to the Obama. Play the first one.
If you look at the victories and failures of the civil rights movement and its litigation strategy in the court, I think where it succeeded was to vest formal rights. But the Supreme Court never ventured into the issues of redistribution of wealth and sort of more basic issues of political and economic justice in the society. And to that extent, as radical as I think people tried to characterize the Warren Court, it wasn't that radical.
Oh, for those of you who don't know what the Warren Court stood for, Earl Warren it was an interesting story about Earl Warren. He was a segregationist in the South who, after he became a Supreme Court justice, became a whack job liberal. You know, is that strange to you? Think Robert Byrd, ex-Klansman who becomes a maniac left winger. You know, a lot of them make up for their youthful indiscretions and their racism by swinging all the way to the other side. And whichever way you spin it, they're still racists. They're still hurting some group based upon their flawed thinking. Hey, that was well done, Mike. That was like a real birdie, man. Whatever a birdie is, I'm not into that game. I don't know what sport that applies to. And I grew up, I wasn't into any of those sports. I mean, stickball, and that was it. Sports. Does anybody watch that series Mad Men on AMC? It's a small audience. I can't get into it. A lot of people don't know. I think it's really amazing. You want to talk about her? What's her name? The woman who plays the wife, the blonde, perfect wife from Westchester. He's the ad man in the 60s, like 61, 62. Played by this guy, Mr. Ham, who's like the new Clark Gable, you know, leading man. He's a perfect leading man, the guy in this Mad Men series, in the sense that, you know, square jaw, good-looking, husky, you know, unlike the wimpy kind of guys who've been playing leading men, like the Tom Cruise lightweight type of leading men. This guy's the old-school, like, 50s leading man. Rock Hudson, okay? Like a straight Rock Hudson. I pray he's straight. Don't know. Have no idea. God, you can't only his hairdresser knows for sure. But and the wife is played by an actress I never heard of, obviously, till the series called January Jones. What a great name that is. But she's like ultimate ice princess wife. Slim hips, great body, perfect hair, perfect lips, perfect eyes, perfect nose. And the most mean, controlling, like woman, wife, horrible mother you could ever imagine. And it's pretty brutal. And, they're, you know, the scene of the ad men drinking every day, all day long. That's all they did was drink, you know. No wonder their kids all became drug addicts and moved to Berkeley and wound up working for Jerry Brown. I mean, God, I mean, how else? You have to run away from the East Coast and become like a maniac environmentalist if your parents were drunks. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Here was an article from the Wall Street Journal that I pulled out this morning. Refiners look to reduce production as falling gas prices cut into profits. You hear this? You hear the manipulation of a market like this? We heard during when the gas was $5 a gallon, they didn't have enough refineries because the liberals didn't let them build them. You remember that lie? Now Sunoco says it's shutting down a unit used in gasoline production at one of its refineries, though it declined to say why. The why is because they're controlling the market. They're manipulating it. You understand this? Did you understand what I just said to you? They lied and said liberals controlled the gasoline prices because they wouldn't let them build refineries. That's rubbish. This is a monopoly. It's a monopoly, pure and simple, and George Bush represented this monopoly. That's why this guy Obama, this nothing, could be so far up. It's a reaction to Bush. I'll be back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. As we wind out this hour, we're going to go from politics to food for a minute. So as you say, after last night's horrendous, the worst Italian food I've had in my life, and I've been over in many parts of the world. I've been in, you know, for years, Samoa, far corners of Tahiti. I've had some pretty bad food. Last night in my own backyard, the worst meal of my entire life. You order, you know, chicken cacciatore, you expect it to be, and this was like a chicken steak with uncooked peppers and with mashed potatoes that were so congealed that to get them off my plate was rather easy. All I had to do was use one flick of the spoon, and they flew right off the plate. So I went out today to my local market. I got wild sea scallops. And I'm like my aunt in that regard. You know, the Mexican guy is really nice. The Mexican guy says, "Oh, these smell," he knows me already. "They smell sweet." And I said, he held it up for me. I took it, and man, it smells sweet. I bought them, you know, a pound of them. Very expensive. I got a whole eggplant. I got fresh wide noodle pasta. I got a cold bottle of wine in the fridge when I get home. So the sea scallops are easy. You know, you put a little oil in a hot pan. The trick is a little oil with scallops, not a lot. Just a film. Get the oil very hot. 3 minutes. Turn them once. Don't cover the pan or you'll steam them. And what you'll do is steam out all of the flavor out of the scallops. Now, with the eggplant, it's not too much different. Put the oven on at 350. Lightly cook them quickly, and again in very hot oil, again very little oil. Turn them quickly. Don't let them absorb the oil. And then put them on a tray in an oven for 10 or 15 minutes, and there's your eggplant. That's not that hard. Then I have fresh wide noodle, a pasta by a certain name. To me, it's all spaghetti. I don't know. The Italians have a name for everything. To me, it's varieties of socialism, Marxist, Leninist, Maoist. To me, it's all spaghetti. So it's fresh wide pasta with the wine, with the cheese, with the grana pandano cheese, with the dogs who love spaghetti. I call them Spaghetti Teddy. A little salad, and I'll forget Obama for the night and wake up tomorrow and see McCain caught up to him neck to neck because of you. This is Michael Savage. You know,
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I intended not to endorse anyone for this election prior to this week. But the more I have learned about Obama, the more I realize I cannot sit on the sidelines. And so I have to officially say, and sadly so, that I am going to endorse John McCain for whatever it's worth. You may say, oh, who listens to that guy, Savage? What does an endorsement from him mean? It means more than you may imagine.
This is Rick Roberts, in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Toll-free everywhere, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Well, that was yesterday, Michael endorsing John McCain. And I feel about the same way as Michael. McCain is not a true conservative, but he's all we got. As they say in the South, you dance with the one who brung you. Yeah, there are no do-overs, and we must not let the socialist get the keys to the front house, front door of the White House. It's just that simple. McCain, this could be a pivotal point for McCain. With what, a week left? We've got 7 days left. A lot can happen in 7 days, but McCain's got to take advantage of opportunity when it presents itself. It's just that simple. McCain has not taken it to Obama the way that most of us would have wanted him to. It's no small thing to have Savage endorse you for any elected office, and Savage has a lot of listeners. I mean, it is a pivotal moment in the McCain camp. If he will take advantage of this, it can work for him. It can absolutely work for him because it's time. It's time for people to realize, okay, we've had a lot of fun. Everybody's gone crazy. It's sort of the end of the party when the lights start to come up and the music starts to wane and everybody looks around and the tables and the dishes are everywhere. It's time to go home. It's time to come back to reality. You don't know enough about Barack Obama to elect him as leader of the free world. You don't know. He is untested. We don't know where he stands on some very, very tough issues. We know less about him. I'll put it this way. With all of the stories and all of the different stuff swirling around Barack Obama, his records are sealed, and no, I didn't say that. What I actually said was this, and my tax proposal has changed 5 times in the last 2 days, depending on what crowd I'm speaking to. The man's untested. You know more about your dentist than you know about Barack Obama. You don't elect somebody like this to be commander-in-chief, to be leader of the free world, without knowing more about him. He could make it much easier. He chooses not to do so. You know just about everything you need to know about Joe Biden. And that is very unfortunate. I don't know what to say about that. Somebody took me to task earlier today. I don't like him. I don't like Joe Biden. I think he's an arrogant political ass. He's condescending. He believes that he transcends whatever the little man may thinketh. I just don't like Biden for many, many different reasons. But having said that, You've got to get a hold of the fact that Barack Obama is a socialist. Now, I don't know whether people can wrap their heads around the clinical definition of socialism or not, but if you don't, it's going to be a very, very scary 4 years. I want you to
the victories and failures of the civil rights movement and its litigation strategy in the court. I think where it succeeded was to vest formal rights. But the Supreme Court never ventured into the issues of redistribution of wealth and sort of more basic issues of political and economic justice in the society. And to that extent, as radical as I think people tried to characterize the Warren Court, it wasn't that radical.
Okay. Well, I guess it depends on your point of view. Michael explained that quite proficiently, I thought, just a moment ago. Here's the bottom line. Barack Obama is a socialist. He has surrounded himself with radicals of every stripe. We don't know enough about this guy. You don't, even the most ardent Barack Obama supporters out there, you cannot sit down and fully brief me on who the person of Barack Obama is. You can't. As I said, records are sealed. The politicos that he has spent much time with aren't talking. Those that are talking, for whatever reason, the historical record doesn't line up with whatever diatribe they have right now. It's socialism, pure and simple. And if you don't know what socialism is, look it up. All right, just look it up and say, okay, is that what I want for the next 4 years? He is untested when it comes to in the matter of foreign affairs. We don't know what this guy will do. We don't know where he stands. This is not going to be a pretty 4 years with Barack Obama at the helm. McCain can turn this around. He can turn this. I truly believe McCain can turn this around in the next 7 days, but he's got to take advantage of every possible opportunity that comes his way or that presents himself must be taken advantage of. And not in any small portion, Michael Savage's endorsement yesterday. That's a huge thing. Savage has millions and millions and millions of listeners, and they're all waiting for some direction. Not that they can't think on their own. They obviously can. But Savage thinks these things through, and he looks what's the inevitable end to this particular action or that. Every action has a consequence. Many times those consequences are very, very small. You don't even notice them. Other times they carry such weight you don't think you can bear up under them. This is a very, very important election. You don't need me to tell you that. Let's go to Hartford, Connecticut. Nancy. Nancy, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling to thank Dr. Savage with all my heart for endorsing McCain. I consider him a monolith again amongst men for doing that and for holding on to our freedom of speech. I just can't imagine a world. I can't imagine our country with Obama as president. And thank you very much.
Nancy, thank you. I appreciate the call. Chicago. Gil, thanks for waiting. You're in the Savage Nation. How you doing, Gil?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your show. I mean, not only is it informative, but it's a mix of comedy, preaching, journalism, storytelling. It's just a delight to listen to you guys.
Well, if you don't have Michael's newest book, Psychological Nudity, you need to get that, and I'll tell you why. It's Michael's fifth book. The first four were bestsellers. I'm sure this will be, too. It's a compilation of all the stories that Michael has told. You know, Michael's a very diverse personality. He can, he can stand right in there with the best of them politically and in a heartbeat, be talking about something that occurred when he was a young boy that has relevance today. All of those stories have been compiled in the book Psychological Nudity, and you can only get it on michaelsavage.com. If you love Michael's show, you need to take a look at his newest book, because I think you'll be soundly impressed.
I wanted to just make a quick comment. Like I said, I love his use of history in order to forecast the future. And a question that I had regarding is, I mean, you're looking at Obama and you're seeing his Marxist tendencies. And my question is, you know, America, heartland America, still understands what God is and to follow scripture, which, you know, Michael Savage talks about from time to time. My question is this. When the Russians were taken over by the Bolsheviks, they didn't seem to have a clarion call telling people that this is what it is. But it seems like for us in America, we're getting all the information up front about this Marxist, and it's giving us an opportunity to rally the way Michael did yesterday and rally us all together to speak out. I mean, it feels like we are privileged in the sense that we got to hear all this stuff up front instead of after the fact, like the Bolsheviks or any other country that was taken over by communists. What are your thoughts about that?
My thought is you're absolutely on point. There's no secret, or should be no secret, as to what Barack Hussein Obama is, what he has been, and what he hopes to be, based on his writings, based on his associations, based on everything he has said. He has said it out loud during this campaign. You know, it's often said, who was it that told me, going back a few years? Could have been Jerry Spence. He was a guy I followed intently in law school. Jerry Spence, the best place to hide is in broad daylight. And that is exactly what Barack Obama is doing, because no one can truly believe we have had it so good for so long with so little, if anything, required of us as free Americans that we don't believe it can ever change. It can only get better. No. If you read a history book or two, you can see it can get real bad real quick. And if you look around at the different countries that still exist and look at the roads they have taken, it doesn't take long to figure out where we are on that road of historical perspective. And we won't last. We won't last under the tutelage of a socialist, at least not in the way that that all of us remember. But nobody believes that. People become complacent. They become apathetic. If you look at the number of people eligible to vote, then look at the voter turnout. It's pathetic. Now what person in their right mind would not become a part of the political process when so much hangs in the balance? Well, someone that's apathetic, someone that's complacent, somebody that has not been required to do anything for the freedoms they so enjoy. That's the type of person that is ripe, that is absolutely ready for the picking for a socialist like Barack Obama. You walk in, the guy is fat and happy. He's not going to get up his butt to go vote. And you walk in all your socialist glory, catering to the nanny state types, catering to the so-called middle class, when every presidential contender on record has done the same thing. Very few have come through. And I don't think he's hiding anything. I don't think he needs to, because I don't think the American people pay attention. After the byline, after the headline, nobody reads the newspapers anymore. It takes too much time. If they can't get the news in the first 30 seconds, it's not worth my time. They want fast food, fast dry cleaning, fast everything. I understand your observation, and I agree with it. The thing that is dangerous about it is that it is patently true when it comes to people electing leaders, and not just president. This, with all the faults we have as a government, you know, I've traveled extensively abroad. I can tell you there's some places that I wouldn't mind visiting again, but I sure as hell wouldn't want to live in any of those places with all of our faults. But it doesn't work unless the people get involved. It doesn't work for you. It continues to work for those involved, but it doesn't work for the people unless the people are involved. I appreciate the call very, very much. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. I want to urge you to go to michaelsavage.com. A lot of you are calling about the book, Psychological Nudity. You can't get it in the bookstore. You have to go to michaelsavage.com and plan to spend some time. You'll want to. All the news, all the stories you hear that Michael talking about on the show, and the book, Psychological Nudity, michaelsavage.com. Toll free everywhere, 1-800-449-TALK. 1-800-449-8255. I want to get right to your calls. I shake my head. I absolutely shake. I don't care how much you hate Bush. And I'm not a big Bush fan, not with the spending out of control, the open borders and all the rest. I do support him as commander-in-chief. When boots are on the ground, you're obligated to do that as a free American, whether you like it or whether you don't. Sorry. You mean I don't get to disagree with that? No. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. But I can't believe even those people that are totally consumed with Bush hate, I don't see how they could opt out for a socialist slash communist in the person of Barack Obama. You know, Biden's bad enough, and we've been putting up with him forever. Spread the wealth. Spread the wealth. You're kidding me, right? Spread the wealth. Again, his tax proposal, depending on whether you listen to Biden or Barack or one of the handlers, has changed 5 times in 2 days. Well, first it's $200,000, then it's $250,000, everyone under $150,000. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. Again, without hopefully being redundant, you would expect to know more about the guy working on your teeth at the dentist office than you know you could possibly know about Barack Obama. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. Florida, Eric. Eric, thank you for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Eric.
Hey, absolutely. I think 100% the reason why this situation could get so far is because people have lost the values. By this, I mean that they no longer care about truth. They care about pleasure. People don't care about church, even synagogue. If you asked serious Orthodox Jews deep in Brooklyn, there wouldn't even be any question. You mentioned PLO, and people would freak out. There would be no contest. So people are more addicted to TV than actually getting real information. So that's why this situation could get so far.
I would agree that you could probably take whatever leading star you would find on television, put them up as a political candidate, and they would receive more votes than any legitimate candidate could ever think about getting. But you're right. The mere mention of the PLO at one point in time used to raise one's blood pressure. Now it's, well, you know, it's not like he was a member of the PLO. Come on. This is like reschooling everyone. It's just absurd. You know, it's socialism. Biden, has got caught in the traps a couple of times. The redistribution tape, they're not going to release, evidently. The New York Times is not going to release it. Another questionable Obama connection, the obligatory Obama has terrorist ties story, right? They're a dime a dozen anymore. And yet they still somehow don't seem to exist in the eyes of your average Obama drone. The guy's just downright scary. National Review Online's Andrew McCarthy had another great piece out today. It would be headline-making news in the mainstream media if it were about a Republican. But it's not. So the only place you're going to hear about it is in the Savage Nation. In 2003, back when he was a state senator, Obama attended a party for Khashid Khalidi. Now, who's Rashid Khalidi? Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Khalidi's friends were bidding him a fond farewell. He left his post as a professor at the University of Chicago to go to Columbia, right? Khalidi was the spokesman for Yasser Arafat when he headed up the PLO. And he was a buddy, yes, of Obama. Yes, I said Obama. Your call's next. I'm Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you for the opportunity. You're on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com, want you to go there if you're interested in the book Psychological Nudity, the fifth book of Michael's, destined to be the bestseller. Psychological Nudity is only available on MichaelSavage.com. You can't get it in the bookstore. So go there at some point today. Try to make some time and go to michaelsavage.com. 7 days. 7 days remain. Not a lot of time, but enough time for McCain to pull this out. If he starts getting serious, if he gets as serious as Palin is about this race, it's feasible. He could do it. The thing I don't understand, you know, I've been in talk radio a long time, and the thing I don't understand is how the American people can trust this great nation that the people have fought for and died for. I'm not trying to be dramatic here, all right? We've still got boots on the ground in harm's way. How they could just turn this over to a guy they barely know. Now, those that are going to vote on the color of skin, no amount of intellect is going to sway their vote. I was talking with some people the other day. Yes, I'm voting for Barack Obama because he's a black man. It's about time there was an African-American. Well, I'm voting for, well, what about this? Doesn't matter. Black man. What about this? Doesn't matter. Black man. You know, if white people did that, there would be no Barack Obama as a candidate. But, you know, that should go without saying. You don't know enough about this guy. There is no way you do know enough about this guy. Too many questions remain to just hand this guy the entire country. Well, Bush didn't do anybody. Okay, look, I know you hate Bush. I'm not wild about Bush either. All right? But you don't know enough about the person of Barack Hussein Obama to turn over the keys to the car to this guy. You just don't. No, whether it's a socialist friend or a communist friend or a guy as a spokesman for the PLO, or were they good friends? Did they hang out? Did they babysit each other's kids? You just don't know enough, and he's not making it any easier with his sealing his record since the time he was in kindergarten. You just don't know enough about this guy. It's just that simple. No, McCain would not be my first choice as a candidate for the GOP. But, hey, that's what happens when you're fat and happy and you don't get involved. You get what generally you deserve. The country doesn't deserve a Barack Obama. Memphis, Tennessee, Tony, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Yes, sir. I want to say that I'm a lifelong Republican activist for many, many years, been involved in the Republican Party. Last April, I write letters to the editors quite often. I wrote a letter to the editor last April explaining to the general public why I was not voting for any of the above, whether it's McCain or Obama. But when the Sarah Palin infusion came upon the scene, that is what actually turned my heart and mind around, because I feel like I absolutely see that there is hope, and I understand how much influence a vice president can have upon the president. As Ms. Palin has made it clear, she's got some issues that she disagrees with Mr. McCain, but she's going to do her best to sway him in a direction I feel that we as true conservative Republicans can be very proud of.
Well, you know, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I was not a big Palin supporter when she was first picked because I was going for the win. You want to win, you pick Romney. It had been all over but the shouting by now. But that didn't happen, and I really couldn't understand the Palin pick. I'm not all-knowing and all-seeing. I make mistakes like everybody else, and I was not a big fan of the vice presidential pick by McCain. And then as time went on, she showed me that she's got some mettle. She showed me that she has got some direction. And, hey, at this particular point in time, she has been more passionate in campaigning than has McCain. So, you know, maybe I was wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I know I'm dead right about Barack Obama. I know I'm dead right about Joe Biden. Let me hear Joe Biden talking about this would be the first of four different tax plans that has been tabled by the Obama-Biden campaign. Let me hear Joe talking to the guy, or actually he was talking to a woman the other day. Was it Good Morning America or something? I don't know, but let me hear that.
We want to take money and put it back in the pocket of middle-class people.
Anybody making over $250,000 is going to pay more.
You got it. It's time to be patriotic, Kate. Time to jump in. Time to be part of the deal. Time to help get America out of the rut.
What an arrogant political ass. Time to be patriotic. Time to get on board. Time to get be a part of the deal. Time to get America out of the rut. We didn't put you in the rut, genius. You know, the Beltway boys, hand in hand with Wall Street, you know, dug this hole for the American people. I just don't understand how anyone could vote for a person like that. But then again, I don't know how they vote for people like Maxine Waters or Pelosi or all the rest. I just don't. You know, we are the chosen one. God looked upon the earth and said, Pelosi, you shall lead them. God looked upon the earth and said, Biden, you shall lead them out of the darkness. What kind of garbage is that? These people are no smarter than you are. That's what I want you to get a hold of. The only difference is they work at a different job and they dress differently. They're no smarter than you are. And if you listen critically, you'll see that to be the case. They're not any smarter than you are. They just do something different for a living. Yet somehow, some way, they transcend the working people. Somewhere in the heavens, they look down and rule upon us with a golden glow. I don't know what the hell that means, but you follow what I'm saying. Ralph in New York. Ralph, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Ralph.
Hi, Rick. Let us not forget the cryptic remarks made by Mr. Biden, this loose cannon, when he said Barack would be challenged within 6 months' time. You know why he feels that way? Because he knows Obama feels he can somehow negotiate, and I put that in quotes, with Ahmadinejad. And if you don't care about Israel, and in effect, you don't care about your own welfare here in this country, by all means, vote for Obama. Be stupid and vote for Obama. But I'll say this, though, Rick. I'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who ran a poorer campaign than John McCain has. I am so disappointed in the way, maybe because he's up there in age, maybe because of his POW status, Rick, maybe because he's used to being, he's compromising. With this is what Michael has brought up many a time. But I'll tell you something, if he does not come alive within this last week, we're in trouble, because I don't want this man to be my president. I certainly do not.
Well, you know, I don't know, Ralph. I have thought this thing six ways to Sunday, and I've tried to figure out from a McCain standpoint. You know, it's almost, and I have been, you will find my name on the list of people that said, you know, the guy acts like he doesn't care because he didn't act like, or I thought he didn't care. It's like, yeah, well, I don't really care whether I win or not. And, you know, now I got the nomination, but who knows? You know, now I'm starting to think that once people got a whiff of Barack Obama and his socialist buddies and his communist buddies and his most liberal voting record in the Senate, that he would be a shoo-in. I'm starting to think that was what he was thinking. Palin, on the other hand, not being an insider, didn't think about that way. And so she came out with both barrels blazing, no pun intended. And, you know, she has really been the one that has energized this GOP. So I don't know. You know, I hope he does something. I hope he does something in the next 7 days. Savage just endorsed him. He's, you know, he's got everything going his way at this particular point in time. I saw a poll just before I came in for Michael. You know, he's neck and neck in some states, which is huge based on where he was this time last week. You know, I've got to think people have decided, okay, well, it's time to come back to reality. Barack Hussein Obama, we don't know enough about him. We don't know who his friends are. It's like my grandmother, God rest her soul. She used to say, Ricky, you're known by the friends you run with. Well, wait a minute. I didn't do it. Doesn't matter whether you did it or not. You're known by the folks you run with. But I didn't do it. Let me say this one more time. It doesn't matter that you did or didn't do something. You're known by the folks you run with. Now, evidently, Barack Obama's grandmother didn't tell him that same story. Or he wouldn't be running with some of the people he is running with now and has run with before. You just don't have enough information about the guy. Don in Houston. Don, thanks for waiting. I appreciate your patience. You're on the Savage Nation.
Well, you know, I really love all this talk about this mantra about Obama's socialism. You know, I'd rather have the type of socialism that Obama is supposedly for than the corporate welfare Republican socialism that we've had for the last 8 years, if I can give you an example or two.
Oh, sure. Please do, Don. I wait with bated breath.
You know, for instance, the no-bid contracts to Halliburton with a war that was started on false pretenses. the huge bailout to the investment banks that just happened on...
All right, Don, before you embarrass yourself further, let me tell you, I used to be an oil and gas attorney. I've negotiated offshore concessions with foreign countries on behalf of American companies. The reason Halliburton, Brown & Root, and a handful of others are involved is because they invented what's going on in the Middle East. There's nobody that knows what they know. You know, so this crap about no bid contracts and all the, you know, Don, you're an idiot. Please do yourself a favor. Go to Google search some of this stuff. Who was the one that even invented the transmission lines and the processing plants and all the rest back when oil was nationalized or before it was nationalized in the Middle East? You know, you're one of these, we went to war for oil crap. You know, that's a one phone call finagle to the right person. You don't have to start a war for it. You know, if I hear Halliburton one more time, I'm going to gouge my eyes out. You know, Halliburton holds most of the patents on most of the oil processing equipment. You idiot. All you have to do is look at this. You know, besides that, the oil companies don't set their own prices. Not as of 1972. They're traded like stocks. You know, I don't get this. I do not get this. And by the way, the bigger portion of a gallon of gas tax-wise goes to the government, not to the oil companies. Look, there is plenty to be upset with the Bush administration about. Divorcing big oil ain't one of them, all right? Not if you know anything about what you're talking about. This is not pre-1970s where the oil companies could price fix. They can't, not unless they can price fix Wall Street. And who knows, after this bailout, they might be able to do that. You know, bottom line is you're a socialist. You're a communist. You would rather have that type of lifestyle than you would the opportunity that we enjoy now. Do some big companies get favors from government? Of course they do. Just like you get favors from people that you know that are in a place of influence. It happens. There are checks and balances. Oh, my God. This is crazy. This is absolute. Well, Halliburton this and Brown and Root that. That's because they invented the processes by which they extract oil and refine it in those areas. No, I tell you what. Let's go with this guy that's got a cheaper bid and knows absolutely nothing and has no absolutely no resume on doing this type of work. Give me a break, please. All right, we'll do a little business. Okay, that kind of stuff just incenses me. You know why? Not because the guy's wrong, but because there's plenty of information out there to give yourself the information you need to carry on some type of intelligent dialogue about it. You know, the war for oil, the Halliburton thing. Good Lord, man, that's go to Google, inform yourself, and then call back, and we'll have an intelligent discussion. Right now, that's what gets – I don't know what it is. Everybody's got something that sends them over the edge. Everybody does, and I'm no different. Mine's incompetence and people that are stupid about things that they should have all the information they need because they won't go to it. They won't read it. They won't look at it. Yet it impacts the very life they have on this planet. It's just I don't get it. Maybe it's called thinning the herd, as they used to say in the South. Well, you know, boys, you can't save them all. You just got to thin the herd. Your calls – straight ahead, this is Rick Roberts in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on The Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity. Always a pleasure to be behind the mic when Michael is away from time to time. MichaelSavage.com. MichaelSavage.com, that's where you'll get all the information. That's where you can also get Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, a compilation of all the stories you hear right here on The Savage Nation. I want to get back to in that last caller. Forgive me if I was a bit harsh. I can't abide, as my grandfather used to say when he would walk up on something I had done or I was trying to build something and made a mess, you know, son, I can't abide this. And I knew that was trouble right then. Son, I can't abide this. I can't abide stupidity. I just can't. There are plenty of problems with the Bush administration. You know, we don't have to invent them. We don't have to invent them. Let's go to San Diego. Casilla, I guess it is. Casilla, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Rick, I'm a black American. I'm not African American. I'm a black American. I'm not voting for Barack Obama, and he speaks with a forked tongue. Americans choose not to do the research. That's why Obama's gotten this far. People choose not to research and find the truth. And black people who they've voted for him only because the color of his skin, not because of any other reason. And because of their ignorance, if he gets in 10, 5, 6 years from now, their children, their grandchildren will pay the price for their ignorance. And my husband absolutely enjoys the show in the afternoon. I listen to you in the morning. I'm the DD, I hate DD person.
Oh, you're the woman voting for Barack Obama based on the color of his skin?
I'm not her. I'm against her.
Okay, I got you. I actually had, and as Cassia knows, I had a woman, sounded very well read, and she was very forthright. My name is DD. I'm an African-American woman. I am voting for Barack Obama based on the fact he's a black man. It's about time we had an African-American. I go to church. I'm against his stance on abortion. But I'm voting based on the color of his skin. And I thought to myself, well, you know, if white people did that, he'd never be a candidate. Cassia, I appreciate the call very much. You know what this is, what we are seeing right now? We are seeing an outgrowth of American stupidity. That's what we're seeing. We have become so fat, so lazy, so complacent, so apathetic. We don't get involved. And if you don't inform yourself, just like that last lunatic that called about Halliburton, you know, that argument is so old and has been dispelled so many times that I don't even have time to go into it in the time remaining. But it doesn't take that much to inform yourself to, and not because, you know, I say so or because someone else says so. You look it up. Mansour Ijaz, great, great guy. I like him a lot. His father was the architect of the nuke program in Pakistan. He's with the Crescent Partnership in New York. He has written so many articles, hand in glove. Well, Bush went to war for oil, daggummit. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. All you have to do is read and inform yourself. But people don't do that. And what happens when people don't inform themselves, when people don't take the time to step back and get involved in the process in an intellectual way, not an emotional way. I'm not talking about making signs in your neighbor's garage and walking out there on Saturday afternoons, walking up and down the street. You don't know what you're doing. I'm talking about informing yourself, making your intellect swell with information. That's what I'm talking about. If you do that, people like Barack Obama never come on the scene. But if you're fat, happy, and lazy, it's an open door for a Barack Obama. Jeanette in Florida. Jeanette, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hello, Jeanette.
Hello. I'm calling to talk about something that I've been thinking about for a long time. It's a quality that he doesn't have, and that's patriotism.
Oh, you're talking about Barack Obama and his lack of patriotism?
I am.
Well, no, I think you're mistaken, Jeanette, because his running mate, Joe Biden, he put a price tag on patriotism. Do we have that again? Yeah, it's time to be patriotic. It's time to give the government more money. All you have to do to be patriotic is give the government more money. Isn't that right, Mr. Biden? Go ahead. Tell folks. Go ahead. Go ahead. Joe Biden telling you how to be patriotic. Jeanette.
We want to take money and put it back in the pocket of middle-class people.
Anybody making over $250,000 is going to pay more.
You got it. It's time to be patriotic. Kate.
There you go. That's their definition of patriotism. Yeah. How much money you throw at the federal government. That's the bottom line. How much money you throw at the government determines your patriotism. Well, I can tell you, living in San Diego, that's not what patriotism is around here. It's dedication to duty, to honor, to the Corps. It's dedication to whatever branch of the service you may be in. It's dedication to those families left behind to keep, at the risk of sounding dramatic, keeping the home fires burning, doing what they can to fulfill their duty. And most people don't even understand it. Most people don't even understand it. They don't even get it. Patriotism. It's about love of country and doing the right thing when you personally don't know whether that's the way to go or not. It's the way you go to keep the country alive, to keep the country moving forward, to keep the country in some semblance of normalcy that you can hand off to your children and their children. That's patriotism, not how much money you throw at the government. This is Rick Roberts in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity. MichaelSavage.com. Don't forget to go there. Savage.